Welcome to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa. You are tuned in to a show that will inspire you and empower you to move you from your past and help you grab hold to your God-given future. Using biblical, practical, and life experience, Pastor Teresa, along with her special guests, will be teaching women of all ages that the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as you share, talk, and grow. Now for the next 60 minutes, we invite you to the show. Here's your host. Hello, ladies. Welcome to Share Talk. This is your host, Pastor Teresa. I'm so happy to have you tune in today on Share Talk as we share, talk, and grow, learning that the hardship of life don't have to leave you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. I tell you, I'm laughing because I just had a oops today, and Lady Swinson, don't get mad with me, girl. You love me?
I'm good.
Oh, I gave her the wrong number, guys, and she was on somebody else's call, Lord Jesus. But today we have 60 minutes of live empowerment on today, and we want you guys to really tune in, talk to your sister. If she's married, she's engaged. If she's planning on getting married, she wants to be on the line today, because tonight we have some awesome information that we're going to share with you on tonight. And Lady Swinson is prepared, and we have prayed up, and we have seek the face of God, and God has given us some powerful things on tonight for you as women, as wives, wives-to-be. Lady Swinson is going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to start our segment. Amen, Lady Swinson.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord God, for this day and all that you predestined to happen and take place in this day. God, we thank you, Lord, that all things are going to work together for our good. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you've given us, that you've imparted in us to give back to those who are seeking answers, God. We thank you, Lord God, that as we are on this call tonight, God, that you, God, will lead us and guide us, God, that the unctioning of the Holy Ghost, God, will give us everything that we need for your ladies on tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, that they will not end this call or hang up this call, God, without the answers that they're seeking from you that only you can give us, God. We thank you for the wisdom that only comes from you, God. And God, as we share tonight, God, we thank you now in advance that every person on the call will receive what they need from you today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. And we're so excited to have you once again on the line, because we believe that there is some information that we're going to share tonight that really will take you and help you get where you need to be as a wife. And as a wife-to-be. Now, keep in mind, I want to go ahead and give this knowledge now. It's going to challenge you. Tonight's segment is going to challenge you. Amen. And it was done on purpose, because we as wives need to understand the authority that we walk in, or the authority we do not walk in. And we're going to explain that a little bit later, what that means. But tonight we're talking about, are you walking in your authority as a wife or a girlfriend? Wow. As a wife or as a girlfriend? And I truly believe, and Lady Swinson, I don't know about you, but I minister and I counsel, I encourage, I motivate, I inspire a lot of women that's wives. But today, wives are a little bit different than the wives of yesterday. That today's wives, they cut from a different cloth. I don't know, you know, and not to down no one, because I don't want you to look as a downment, because we want to share some things with you to help you along the way. If you thinking about, if you want to, if you desire for your marriage to last, if you want your marriage to be sustained, if you want your marriage to endure some things, it's going to start with you. And Lady Swinson, when you got the information, what came to mind to you? Let's dialogue about this topic. Are you walking in authority as a wife or as a girlfriend?
Well, Pastor Teresa, it's not strange, but it's crazy that, you know, this was the topic, because I was like, wow, authority as a wife or a girlfriend. And what came to mind to me, and it was so awesome that the Lord just gave me an instant download, and he actually began to tell me that there are wives who are already married today. There are wives all over this world that are not receiving the full benefits of a wife. They're not walking in the full authority as a wife. They are only getting girlfriend benefits. I said, God, what you say? And then as I began to think about that, he said they're only getting the benefits of a girlfriend, which, you know, a girlfriend in today, you know, they get the physical attention of a man. They get some benefits, you know, they may get a bill paid, they may get, you know, this or that, but there are some wives today that are not walking in the authority that they are given, and they're not receiving the full benefits that comes with a God being married to a godly man or being married to a husband. Husbands, godly or ungodly, still come with some benefits. But when we walk in our God-given authority as a saved wife or husband, there are so many benefits, Pastor Teresa, that comes with that. And I don't think we are, some of the ladies or some of the wives today, are receiving the full benefits that we can get.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I know that, I mean, back in the day, just to go back a little bit, I remember when I was coming up as a child, even though I wasn't around a lot of married couples, but in the community, in our neighborhood, I'm an East Side girl. I'm from the East Side. Yeah, I'm from Florida Avenue. That's right. That's me. Uh-huh. And I was around. I saw it a lot that men and women stick together. They was there. They were together 30, 40, 50 years. Now, I'm not to say that it was healthy all the time. I'm not saying that because we're going to be very balanced, because I do know some people that's been married 40, 50 years and they're not happy. We're going to talk about that too. But I'm really talking about enduring some stuff, because now these days, with these women that's getting married, if it doesn't work out for them to a certain degree, if he don't rub my feet the right way, if he don't talk to me the right way, if he don't pick up his dirty drawers, come on, let's talk about it. If we don't pick up, if he leave toothpaste in the sink, I'm ready for a divorce. Really?
Right. That's
the women of today. Everything got to be picture perfect, but there's nothing perfect. You're not perfect. And so if you're looking for a perfect person, I'm sorry, you're not going to find that person. I would actually say this, Lady Swenson. My husband's not perfect, but he's perfect for me.
Amen. I agree with you.
You didn't hear what I just said.
Yes,
he's
ma'am.
Not a perfect man, but he's a perfect man for me. In other words, I have learned to endure some things, because I tell some wives, and I'm not telling wives, I'm not talking about wives, that if you're getting your head beat up, your children being molested, I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking about unnatural stuff. I'm not talking about women that's going through physical abuse. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about wives that you're getting married, and you start seeing a little boy in him that has not been developed, that has not matured into the man of God that he needs to be, and you're ready to walk off. Oh, I'm talking to that wife that has some infidelity in their relationship, and it's hard for you to forgive, it's hard for you to let that go, and you decided to stay in it, but you still have not let it go, and you're allowing it to rob you from the benefits. I love that, sister. The benefits of being a wife. And I believe, and we're going to talk about it, don't want to go too ahead of myself, but there is a benefit of being a wife. And there are some things only a wife can do. Oh, you better catch that.
Yes,
so if you're a wife on this line, hopefully that you are, if you desire to be a wife, you got to understand, first of all, what's your authority under God? Do you know the authority that you walk in as a Christian? Because if you don't know the authority that you walk in as a Christian, it's going to be very hard for you to walk to authority as a wife. And I'm not talking about you because you're on his insurance. I'm not talking about because you can go in his job or you can get his check and y'all on the same bank account. You got girlfriends do that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that practical stuff. I'm not talking about that because you got girlfriends that's on their boyfriend's account, that's on the wheel. But I'm talking about spiritually benefits. That's something that only a wife can do. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about that, Lady Swenson. We're talking about, are we walking in authority as a wife or a girlfriend? And when we're talking about that, what comes to mind when you're talking about the word authority?
Now, the word authority, in the natural sense, Pastor Teresa, comes from, let's use Webster, first of all. Let's just go and define authority in the Webster dictionary. It says it's the power to determine, to adjudicate, or otherwise settle issues or disputes. It's a power or a right delegated or given to you. Okay? So authority is a power or a right delegated or given to you. We don't get authority just because we're born. We don't come into this world with authority. It's something given to us. It's rightly delegated or given to us.
Wow, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And in
mm-hmm.
the spiritual realm, I like how you went to the practical first. In the spiritual mm-hmm. realm, we know when Jesus, yesterday we just celebrated, Easter, Resurrection
Absolutely.
Sunday. And what he did on that cross, got down off that cross, and got up after 3 days after the
mm-hmm.
cross, gave
All
us
power.
Authority. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he gave us power.
Absolutely.
So if you're not saved, you don't have no power. But when you save, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have power. So if you understand that when your spiritual walk, then you will get a better concept when you get that married, when you get joint with that husband, when you get joint
Amen.
With that man of God that you're married to, because there's some authority that God has given you. And we want to talk about tonight that are you truly walking in the authority as a wife, not the practical wife. I said this before. You know, a lot of women know how to be a practical wife. They know how to clean. They know how to have sex. They know how to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to have sex. They know how to take their man money. They know how to do all that kind of stuff. They know how to cook. They know how to clean. But when you talk about a spiritual, godly woman, what do that look like?
Mm.
What do that look like? Lady Swinson, tell us, what do that look like being a godly, spiritual woman? What do that look like?
Wow. Well, to me, Pastor Teresa, I took my cues from, of course, and I'm sure you know all about this because you have your Proverbs 31 women's class. But to me, you know, being married, when I got married, I didn't, like you said earlier, I didn't grow up seeing good examples. And that's not to down my mom or anybody that I've been around, but I didn't grow up seeing good examples of being a spiritual wife. Because back in the day, they did what they did. They did the best that they knew how. They didn't really know the scripture like we have access to the scripture today. So in my growing up, in my marriage, you know, I had to really research and I had to really cry out and just ask God, you know, God, show me the picture of what I am to be as a wife. You know, I didn't go to my mom and ask her because I already knew she couldn't give me the answer. You know, I've already seen, you know, marriages destroyed and divorces, and I didn't want that. So in order to find out what we're supposed to be or what a godly wife looks like, we had to go to God, the creator, the maker, the one that made us. He's the one that has all the answers. So to me, my cues came from the Proverbs 31 woman. You know, she gives us so many benefits, so many keys of being a godly wife, one that rises early, one that's not idle. She don't find time to gossip and sit around and be idle. You know, she wakes up early while the family's still sleeping and spend time with God and prepare for her family. You know, there are so many things that the Proverbs 31 wife woman gives us. You know, the virtues of a Proverbs 31 woman are my cues. She's faithful. You know, she's faithful to God. She's faithful to her husband. You know, there's so many things in that passage of scripture that can give us all the cues that we need and to line up and become that woman that we need to be as a godly wife.
Absolutely, and I totally agree. And I like the verse 10 in Proverbs 31, verse 10.
Oh, yes.
It said, who can find a virtuous, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find
mm-hmm.
a virtuous wife? I mean, that
mm-hmm.
is rare. Ah,
we're rare.
Married,
hallelujah.
But virtue is very rare.
Mm-hmm.
I need y'all to catch that. That means when you are so precious the way you are, and I truly believe that we have some precious, priceless jewels on this call tonight that's linking
Amen.
In, calling in, linking in through Facebook. You are precious, but can your husband find you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what I said? Can your husband find you? And I truly believe the Proverbs 31 woman, and I, like you said, I have a class on this, and that's one of my favorite books of the Bible, Proverbs 31,
okay.
is because this woman, and the kid, what she, he, this mother is not even talking to a woman. She's talking to her son.
Absolutely.
Oh, y'all, I'm not going to go there tonight. I ain't going to go there tonight.
Absolutely.
But my point is just saying this, is, who can find
Hallelujah.
A virtuous woman? Who can find a wife that's good and is capable of being a wife? That means she is hard to find. So
Amen.
She's very rare. So you're
Amen.
Very rare, and I truly believe, like the woman of God just said, there's some of the things that a lot of the women in the old, and I was actually going further back than our age, because I like to do research, and I like to do history, and I find a lot of women way before our time, even time before our mothers, they stuck in a marriage. They stuck in their husband. They was very submissive. Now, there's some things that was done wrong. Don't get me twisted in that, but there's some things that I saw that I love, and that's endurance.
Amen.
They knew how to endure. Those women back in those days, I'm talking way before our time and before our mother time,
mm-hmm.
they respect their husband. They would not go in public, and I don't want to go there tonight. They would not go in public, and you couldn't find a wife that would disrespect her husband in public or private.
Absolutely not.
They knew how
Absolutely.
To speak to their husband, but I don't want to stay there too long. But when you talk about a girlfriend, okay, when we was talking about, okay, are you walking in authority as a wife or a girlfriend, Lady Swinson, tell us and share with us, what's your view as a girlfriend? What's your view?
My view, I mean, yes, girl. A girlfriend in the natural, well, let me just use me, a girlfriend. When we were growing up, we had options. I had it like this, but I could get a man. That was not ever a problem for me. So a girlfriend mm-hmm. Is someone who's attracted to, the opposite sex. They hook up with him for whatever benefits that they feel that they can gain from him at that time. A girlfriend is one who, you know, and we're seeking. Even though we're girlfriends, we're still seeking for that right one, you know, as a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability to be able to go and come. We could leave when we want to. If we don't like something, we can walk out. You know, we could say
right.
deuces. We can just, you know, walk away as a girlfriend, because you don't have that. You're not in a covenant relationship. You're just in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And there's a
Absolutely.
Difference. As a girlfriend, mm-hmm. you're just in a relationship, one that you know, you can just walk away from, or, you know, you can, basically, I'll just say that, you can just walk away at any given time. A girlfriend is one that can do that. She's just a companion
right.
at that point.
A companion. That means
a
you
companion.
Have options,
mm-hmm.
just like you said. Yeah, you have options. You can make up your mind. I mean, a girlfriend can make up a mind, or boyfriend can make up their mind, do I want to be with you or not? But when you're married and you're walking in authority as a wife, you don't have an option. This is my
you
husband.
You don't have an option. Hallelujah.
You don't have an option. This is my husband. So it's no such thing. And I know I'm messing with some women out there, you know, and I'm not saying this is where, again, let's go back. This is where you have to make sure that you're in a good place and you whole, so you won't be connected to anything.
That's good.
And so a lot of women, you know, you're getting this teaching about how to be an effective wife and all this good stuff, but yet at the same time, what you're saying is, but you don't know my husband, but you knew your boyfriend before he became
uh-huh.
your husband.
Amen.
So there's some things and qualities and some things that he did not have when you was dating him, but you choose to still marry him anyway. But now you're in this covenant relationship. Now you're in this marriage, and you can't just give in and give up so quick.
Can't walk away.
I
Amen.
Have here, a girlfriend is not committed. When I think about, I'm going to talk about me. Listen, can I talk about me? I'm going to talk about me. Lady Swinson was real nice with her stuff, but I'm not going to be nice with mine. When I was a girlfriend, not only I was a girlfriend to you, I was a girlfriend to several people. So I had several boyfriends. And because I had several boyfriends, I was not committed to nobody. I will make you think I'm going to marry you, but I never intended to marry you. I would let you buy my ring, but, baby, I had like 4 or 5 rings, and when I go to my other boyfriend, I take that ring off and put the other ring that he gave me. But when you're a girlfriend, there's no commitment. There's no commitment. You can walk away anytime. You can, and I'm not saying wives don't do that, but we're going to talk about the wives in a minute. But a girlfriend have no authority. They play games. And they're fishing. They're fishing to see who's out there. But when you're a wife and you become a wife, you're saying, this is the man I want to stay with and live with and go to heaven with for the rest of my life. But when you don't walk in authority as a wife, you'll walk away from that marriage.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying there's some marriage that I truly believe that God did not put together, that God did not want to put together because the Bible, if you read the Bible in the Old Testament, there was many times God told the children of Israel not to marry to those kind. Don't marry into those people. So there's some people that we should not marry. And I'm not talking about race either. I'm talking about certain type of people that believe a certain type of thing or carry certain type of traits in them. That's what I'm talking about. So when we're talking about a girlfriend, you don't want to walk in authority. If you're married, that man chose you. He put that ring on your finger. He went down that aisle with you. That means he chose you.
Absolutely.
That means you're special. That means you was rare. That means that you was something about you that all the other girlfriends didn't have. What made that man choose you?
Yes.
Come on now.
That's good.
You know, what made that man choose you? He could have chose somebody else, but why he chose you? And even though if he didn't know all the way, I can speak for me. When me and my husband got married, I wasn't a girlfriend alone. I wasn't a girlfriend because I never considered myself a girlfriend because we had a courtship. But y'all heard the testimony before that me and my husband, we dated, engaged, everything in 6 months. But when you walk in in completeness with yourself, with your relationship with God, when that man come in your life, you will know off that if that's him or not. So I knew it was him. Now, I was scared. I'm going to be real. I was scared because I did not just want to make another mistake. But I knew with everything in me that this was my husband. How did I know that? Because I was in tune with God.
Mm-hmm.
I knew. I was scared. My physical, my flesh was scared. But my spirit man was jumping. Because my spirit man recognized him, not my flesh. Oh, my God.
That's good, lady.
Mm-hmm. So when I say that, we're walking. I want to read this to you. The word authority means in the spirit realm and also in the practical realm, too, because I'm combining what Lady Swinson just said. The word authority, the power or given rights to something of action, such of orders, instructions, delegation, assignment. Given rights to, I mean, that's not something we automatically get. Somebody had to give us the authority. Well, who gave us the authority? God.
Amen.
God gave us that authority. So let's discuss our discussion point. So we already know that marriage is going to go through hard times. We already know, I guarantee you, with all the calls that we have lit up on the line tonight, and we have a lot of calls that's lit up tonight, Lady Simpson, and the many people that's linking in on Facebook, and if you're married, and you're married or you're getting engaged or you're engaged, I'm going to talk to the married women that's already married. I guarantee you, if you've been married over a month, you already seen some stuff. You already been hit with some stuff. You already gone through some stuff. So there's no doubt that we are going to go through some storms. We're going to go through some issues. But can you survive the worst of time? Can your marriage survive at the worst of time? Lady Swinson, won't you engage the audience about walking in authority during the worst of time of your marriage?
Walking in authority during the worst times of my marriage, Pastor Teresa, I can honestly say that there were some very tough times in my marriage. My husband and I just celebrated 25 years. And
Amen.
I can honestly say that the first 8 years of my marriage were the worst years. But I thank God for his grace, you know, to bring it all back to fruition. But the first 8 years were very difficult. We, you know, first of all, when we married, neither of us were saved. So then we married according to the flesh. So then in those first 8 years of our marriage, we went through times where we had to, you know, learn one another. He was 19. He was still a boy. and I was 24, so we were very young. We didn't know a lot. We didn't see a lot. He didn't grow up with a father, or, you know, his mom put him out at 13. So there were a lot of things that went on in the first 8 years of our marriage, and they were not all good things. So then me as the wife seeking, okay, first of all, I wanted my marriage. I didn't want to get married and then be divorced because I saw too much of that. So then because I wanted my marriage, I had to seek out answers on how to survive in the midst of these rough times. And the only way that I can seek those answers were through godly wisdom from women who I've seen whose marriage has been through tough times but survived, not from my girlfriends, not from my mother and my mother, who, you know, not from anybody that I know had failed marriages. That's very key. You cannot go to people whose marriages have failed looking for answers. You've got to go to people whose marriages have been successful in tough times and go to God in prayer to get the answers that we need. My authority, the walking in the authority of my marriage, meant that I had to get in my prayer closet. I had to turn my plate over and fast. I had to seek God, the face of God, every day until I received the answers and until I received the strength, Pastor Teresa, to continue to walk this thing out, knowing what I knew. Knowing what I knew in the face of everything that, you know, that went on in my home, I had to seek the face of God until I got the answers that I needed. That is what I believe walking in the authority, spiritual authority in my marriage meant, seeking the face of God, not coming up until I get the answers that I needed.
Right. And I like what you said, Lady Swenson. For one, you wanted your marriage. And because you wanted your marriage, you was willing to do what's necessary spiritually. Ladies, I want to touch three things that she said. One, she wanted her marriage. You got to come in within yourself and make a decision that you want your marriage.
Amen.
For one, I'm pretty sure, I will hope not, nobody get married to get divorced.
Amen. That's good.
I hope nobody on the line got married to get divorced. So when I got married, you know, yes, I'm going to be honest, because we just did a share talk with my husband live. I mean, it was powerful, awesome. One of the best shows I had. I had to put that out there because my boo was on the line with me. But I remember there was a situation happening in our marriage. And in the beginning of our marriage, I'm serious. I was about to throw in the towel. I was going to give that towel in. I'm like, look. But a lot of times, I'm being honest, I want to be real transparent. One of the main reasons why I wanted to give in so quick, because I already experienced hurt already.
Amen.
And I saw it going in that same direction. And I said, oh, no. So I wanted to delete, I want to remove anything that's going to remind me or make me feel that I'm getting ready to go down that same path. So when we was having little problems and, you know, blending our families together, baby mama drama, baby daddy drama, all that kind of stuff, I was ready to throw in the towel and say, no, I ain't signed up for this. But I did sign up for that.
Amen.
And see, I want you to understand, ladies, that God will show you who he is after he show him first, of course. I hope that's how it went for you. because the Bible says a man that find a wife find a good thing. But he will confirm it to you. That's just your husband, because that's what he did for me. So nevertheless, when my husband, we were going through all this process and stuff like that, I wanted to throw in the towel. And he was not spiritual at the time. He just got saved, something I really did not understand. You know, I did understand why God would give me, you know, I was already preaching. I did not understand why God would hook me up with someone that just got saved. I did not understand that. When I had two other men that asked me to marry them, and they've been saved 10, 15, 20 years. I'm trying to understand, why would you hook with me with a brother that's in new members class? I'm trying to understand that. But see, God have a better plan than we do. And
Amen.
He don't think like us. He don't think like us, and we don't think like him. And we can think like him, because the Bible talks about take on the mind of Christ. And so he would, if you really sincerely desire to have the mind of Christ and let God renew your mind, he will download things in your spirit. So in other words, I really didn't understand everything. I didn't understand all this was going to come after that. I didn't. However, when I told my husband, I said, you know what, we could just go ahead and do a divorce. I used to make these statements, let the door hit you with the good Lord split you. I said, baby, I could do bad by myself, sweetie. And baby, I was living before you came, sweetie. And I would tell you something, I was working before you got here, sweetie. I would sweet him down, baby. I had all this strong woman spirit going on, you know.
Syndrome. Mm-hmm.
My husband came, even though he was a new member's class, he came to me, he said, divorce is not an option. I looked at him, I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Divorce is not an option. I didn't get married to get divorced. And I'm like, oh, so you're not going to let me out of this marriage? He said, no. You want to walk away. And I never forget, I went to a park that I normally go to when I have a lot on my mind. I went to that park, and I just prayed. And I said, God, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
He said, be still and see the
mm-hmm.
salvation of the Lord. Be still.
Wow, that's awesome.
Don't be hasting your moving. Don't mm-hmm. do it. And I was like, okay, Lord. So I went back. I said, okay, we're going to try this. We never went counseling, and I'm not telling nobody to go counseling because I'm just being honest with you. I've seen some things, and I saw some things in other people, yet they was married for a lot of years, but I saw some other stuff that was
mm-hmm.
not truthful. So I couldn't
mm-hmm.
really go to people that, yeah, you've been married for a lot of years, but your marriage is not truthful,
mm-hmm.
if you understand what I mean. And
yes.
so, and you, like the woman of God said, you want to be with people. If you're going to get counsel for anyone, you want to make sure what you get in counsel, you get counsel with people that's genuine, they love each other. They may have a lot of good information to share, but do you see the love for real? Behind
yes,
the closed
yes.
doors, is that really
wow.
true, what you're seeing? Because a lot of times, and I'm learning with couples, special couples have been together for a long time, what they're saying is not what's going on, you know what I mean?
Amen.
And, with all that said, I'm going to get off of that. But can you survive to the worst of time? Yes, you can. But there's some things that you have to do. There's some things that you have to apply. You have to apply the word of God to your marriage. You're not going to be able to be doing this with a carnal mind. I want to talk to that wife. You can't be carnal minded.
Amen.
You cannot be carnal minded in this relationship that you have with God and that you have a relationship with your husband. If you ever want to see the fruit of God come out of your relationship, you have to take on the mind of Christ. You have to become spiritual in your walk with God and your walk with your husband. Our next discussion point is, Lady Swenson, is you can see, this discussion is, you can see the purpose being fulfilled in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to understand that there is a purpose for your marriage outside of having babies, outside
Amen.
Of you and him having sex. There's such a bigger picture than just what you see in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
There's a goal. There's a purpose in the spirit realm. Pastor Swenson, Lady Swenson, share with the ladies on tonight that walking in the authority as a wife concerning the purpose of your marriage. And we know that
wow.
God said be fruitful and multiply, and we have children, we done that. We don't have sex, we done that. But outside of that, walking in authority for your purpose of your marriage, talk to us about that.
Oh wow, that's a good topic. And I can honestly say, Pastor Teresa, that you and I share similar stories. And one of the stories is I too wanted to give up. But in the midst of me wanting to give up, I sat on my sofa, and as I was crying out to the Lord, looking at a picture of my husband, begging God for a way out, he told me the same thing he said to you, and that was be still. He said, this
wow.
is your husband that I predestined for you. So a purpose for being fulfilled in my marriage, I had no earthly idea when we were going through the hell in our marriage that God would bring us to the point of ministry. I had no mm-hmm. earthly idea that that was the purpose behind all the heartache, all the tears, all the wanting to give up, all the wanting to kill myself and commit suicide, all the wanting to just, you know, throw in the towel and say it's not worth it, you know, because of the infidelity, because of everything that occurred in our marriage. I wanted to throw in the towel and give up, but God said that there is a bigger picture. The day that I wanted to commit suicide in my living room floor, God, and take those pills, God said, no, you should live and not die to declare the works of me. And that was the
wow.
purpose behind it all. God had a bigger plan, a bigger picture for me and for my husband. I had to be the wife that said, okay, God, if this is what you're saying to me, if you're saying he is my husband and that I can't walk out of this marriage, that the divorce is not an option for me, then you need to give me the tools. You need to equip me. You need to give me the strength. You need to give me the courage. You need to give me everything that I need to stick this thing out. That couldn't come from mom. That couldn't come from going to church. That couldn't come from getting hands laid on.
Come on now.
You understand? That couldn't come from that. That had to go through perseverance. That had to go through the tears, the struggle, the pain, the heartaches, and everything. But it all came from the grace of God. God will always grace you to go through whatever you need to go through to bring glory to his name. And for the purpose of God, the purpose being fulfilled, that he can get the glory out of your life.
Wow, wow, that's powerful, woman of God. That's powerful, and I would say the same thing. And you know, like you said, our stories are very similar. And I know for a fact, I want to minister to that woman. And I hear you saying, but you just don't know. You're not going through, but we've been through. We're on the other side of it now, and that's what we're trying to get you to. You're so busy, stuck, and God's trying to pull you, but you're still stuck. Because what you see, you got to get out of your natural eye and get in the spiritual eye and see past what you see in the physical. As long as you see it in the physical, you're going to get frustrated. As long as you see it in the physical, you're going to feel abandoned. As long as you see it in the physical, baby girl, you're going to feel like this is not him. This is not my, I don't want to be here. But when you get in the spirit realm, and that's where we're trying to get you to that place where you get in the spirit realm and you know how to labor in the spirit realm and know how to call forth the husband that God designed for your husband to be. But if you continue to look at him and you keep allowing everything he does get on your nerves, everything he didn't do and did do, everything just get on your nerves, baby, you're going to stay stuck. And guess what? You're going to birth your daughters out the same way. Your daughters ain't going to know how to be a wife. They're going to know how to be a girlfriend. They ain't going to know how to be a wife. So when you sit, and we're going to talk about that, oh, my God, I felt the presence of God then, baby.
Yes, God, Pastor Teresa, I got to say this. I heard God say something
please.
And it's somebody on the line, hallelujah, God, I thank you tonight, Lord. Somebody on the line has been crying out and asking God to please answer me. Please, God, tell me if this is the man that you... that if this is my husband, somebody's been crying out and asking God this over and over and over again. And I heard God say to you tonight, don't ask that again. He is the man that I predestined for your life. I'm just trying to get you in a place that you can birth him out. And in the birthing process, baby, comes pain. It comes some stuff that you got to push through. And God said that, yes, he is your husband. And I've given you what you need just to, like Pastor Teresa just said, take your focus and your eyes off of what you see and get in the spirit. God said that he has everything in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Get in his presence. He'll give you everything you need to get through this process.
And the thing about it, it's a process. It's not, we're not telling you to go through a cycle, because a cycle never ends. But
Amen.
A process, you start somewhere and you end somewhere. And there is a destiny. There is a purpose. The key thing is nobody, including Joseph, God showed Joseph a dream. And I'm not trying to get no preach on. I promise you I'm not. Mm. But God showed Joseph a dream, but he did not show Joseph how he was going to get there.
Amen.
God showed him what his ending was, but he did not show him that he's going to get sold, he's going to get lied on, he's going to be in prison. He didn't show him that.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about, you're talking about, so God attended for my husband that having an affair on me? No. But the enemy, keep in mind, is anytime there's purpose is in the atmosphere, Satan's going to come after that. Come on here, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there's potential in a person, don't you think you really think the devil's going to leave your husband and leave you alone? He's always going to be around. But the key thing, do you understand the authority that you have even towards Satan?
My God.
He can't. He don't have all power. He has some, but he don't have all power. Only God has all the power. So can you see purpose being fulfilled in your marriage, for your marriage? You need to say yes to yourself. Say, yes, I see purpose. You may not know everything, and that's why it's so key to make sure you up on the right leadership and you have the right people mentoring you. Because when God, because when you're going through storms, God has to use people, persons. See, he ain't coming down here and doing nothing else. He left people to do that. He's empowered us to reach. That's the reason why this share talk has been designed, because God showed me some things, and he said, I need you and the women that people don't hear from all the time. Pour into some of these women, these wives that don't understand some things, and pour into them what you already learned and what you're learning.
Amen.
And so that's what God is doing. And when you get it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to turn around and pour into somebody else. As you learn, you're going to teach somebody else. And the first and most people that you're going to teach is your children. Because if you don't know, you can't teach your children something that you don't know. You can't teach your daughters. I'm talking to the wives tonight. The wives, you can't teach your daughters how to be a wife if you don't know how.
That's right.
You could teach them how to be a girlfriend, but you would not be able to teach them how to be a wife. Most everybody not to be a girlfriend. The next point discussion is, can you be an example to your children? We actually really covered it already. Yes, you can. I was determined, Lady Swenson, I was determined. I wanted to break every mold that was over my family life. I came from my mom. I love her. Bless her. I don't know her much. I just know what I've been told. I read a lot about her. I'm actually doing an article in my magazine just based on my mom. And one thing I do notice, and I got to be real with you, but I also noticed my mom was married 3 times.
Why is that?
Mm-hmm. 3 times. Mm-hmm. That tells me something. When you've been married that many times, and then it's 5 of us. It's total of us, 5 of us. And I was kind of, you know, powerful she was when she was here. And she preached the paint off the wall. I mean, I got so many stories, and my aunties and cousins, people went to school with her, and they learned it when she got saved. She became a pastor. She became a preacher. She started preaching all over the world. And it was talking about how people was, she was performing miracles. And I said, wow. I said, but in my mind, in my head, I'm just being real. I said, but you've been married 3 times.
Mhm. Come on, baby.
That says a lot to me.
Mhm.
You're powerful in God, but in relationship, something wasn't right.
Is
either you keep you something was going on with you, or and I'm a type of person. Anybody know me? I'm balanced. I'm real. I don't care. It could be my daddy. I don't care. It could be my children. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. But what happened that you had to be married that many times? It's 5 of us, and we share, between 5 of us, we share 4 daddies. Got 4 daddies. That says a lot. And even though she started off when she was young, however, as she got older, my mom died when she was 29 years old. And so she was very young when she died. Yeah, she was very young when she died. But however, something didn't click. And I was so determined, Lady Swenson, I don't want that to be my story. I was so determined. I said, I got to teach my kids. For me to teach them, I first had to be a partaker of it first. So what I ended up doing, I said, Lord God, I started seeking God's face. I said, I got to break the generation curses over my family. You know, one of the generation curses over my family was everybody got pregnant at the age of 14. My mama got pregnant at age 14. She got pregnant with her first child at the age of 14. My sister, my biological sister, she got pregnant at the age of 14. I got pregnant at the age of 14. And I declare and decree it was not going to pass down to my children, because I snatched it from the enemy camp. And I said, no, no, no. So my first grandbaby, my God, my oldest daughter, she got married, and she was married when she was 22, I think 22, 23, no, 22. I think she was 22 years old. And she got married as a virgin. Because I had to go back, and I said, I've got to break this. Because I seen a generation of curse just pass down from one generation to one. My baby girl, she's 21 years old. And when the enemy say he had her, he had to lose her.
Wow,
so you can be an example to your children. But for you to be an example to your children, you first got to be a partaker of what God is telling you. And you got to be that spiritual wife. So as a wife, I have a question. Are you being example what a true wife is? Do your children can truly say that when your husband says something, even though you don't agree with it, how's your face? And we're going to talk about that. How your face looking? Come on here, somebody. Your kids are not dumb. They know when you don't agree with your husband. And when you sit there and go tit for tat with your husband, when you go behind your husband and say, I don't know why he said that, or I don't know why, don't listen to him, do you not know what you're doing in the spirit realm? In the spirit realm, when you do that, you come on here. You're sowing some bad seeds. And so when you want to do it tonight, if that's you, you need to pluck that up. You need to pluck it up. You need to pluck those seeds up and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask forgiveness for sowing these bad seeds to my children concerning their father or their stepway, which y'all may want to call it stepfather. But you got to pluck those seeds up. Lady Swinson, go ahead, sweetie. Share with us. We know that we can be an example as a wife to our children. But what do you have to say on that, sweetie?
Well, I like yourself, Pastor Burton, had to go through some breaking, had to go through some, you know, some generational curses being broken, because my mom also married four times before she was deceased. But in that, it showed me also that there was something wasn't right. There was something missing. So then even in my quest to find a husband, well, not for me to find a husband, in my quest or my desire to be a wife to a husband, you know, I told God, I said, God, I don't want to have the same thing. I don't want to marry to get divorced and get married again and get divorced. That's not what I desire. Mm-hmm. So then in that, you know, I just prayed and asked God to give me what I needed to help my marriage to work. And even in my marriage, I don't have girls, but I have boys. And boys, just like girls, can be taught. Your example is your example, whether it's a girl or a boy. So then,
that's right.
My example to my children, and I wanted to be a good example, because you know, boys will grow up and they will want wives, and it's a good thing for your boys to want to grow up and have a wife similar to their mama. They won't find one like mama. But my boys grew up saying, Mama, you know what? When I get married, I want a wife just like you. Why? Because they saw the traits. Did they see them all the time? No. Because like I said, in the first part of my marriage, I didn't know how to be a wife. I didn't know what a Proverbs 31 woman was. I didn't know what Titus 2 says, that I got to be an example. I got to be reverent in my behavior. I can't be a gossiper. I got to, you know, I can't be one of, you know, drinking wine and, you know, my attitude, my actions, my demeanors. I got to be discreet and chaste. And I didn't know all of that stuff. It was not until I got in God, you know, and really began to seek the face of God for answers, that all of these things came about. And me being mentored by one of the most powerful women of God that I know, Dr. Johnny Swinson, who taught Titus 2 and still teaching Titus 2 to this day, and she began to teach us how to be an example in the home. And that's very important. And that's something that women, I don't think a lot of women know that is important today, Pastor Teresa. You got to be an example, because you're not just in the home, everywhere you go, in the workplace,
everywhere,
in the marketplace, you know, in the bowling alley, you've got to be an example, because somebody is always watching. Somebody's always watching.
That's right. And the sad thing about it is, Lady Swinson, is this, and I minister to a lot of women, like I say. I'm ministering to some sisters now, a couple of them that they don't go to my ministry, but however they contact me through Facebook based on Share Talk, and they're sharing a lot with me, and I was able to meet one of them, and she, you know, based on her response and different things like that, I said, babe, you got to work on your response. I said, no, man, I said this again. I said to her, I'm blue in the face. I promise you, men will leave a woman that loves him and run to a woman that respects him. And that woman may fake in that she respects him, but they'll run to that faster than a woman that loves him. Because
it's
something about it. It's all day long. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to love our husband and be submissive and respect him. That's something God put them in there. It's amazing. God would tell us to do something. We wasn't born yet.
my God.
But that's what we struggle with. That's what we struggle with. And I want to talk to these wives that are so strong. Well, he just get offended because I'm a strong woman. No, you need to sit down. You know, a strong woman know when to shut her mouth. A strong woman, a wise woman, know how to change her demeanor and don't always have to have the answers, and know how to win and say, you know what, this is not my, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to let that drop right there. I'm going to let that drop. Because you know, keep in mind, I hate to say this, but a lot of men, women get more trained than men.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
we talked about this with my husband. And unfortunate, women are marrying boy men that's still dealing with little boy issues.
Amen.
And so you talk about, he's 40, 50 years old. Why, he ain't changed by now. Do you understand what you married? Do you know
what I mean
about
subject?
That's a whole other subject. I know it is, right?
It's good.
And I'm going to tell you something. I thank God. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I caught myself early. Nobody taught me. I caught myself early, and I asked
Amen.
God. I said, God, I want my marriage to work, so I need you to teach me. And I used to watch this. I'm not calling her name out, but it was a particular person in my life at the time, and there's a lot of things I saw behind the scenes or talking, communicating, and stuff like that. I said, that's not what I want to be like. That ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say it all the time. I said, that's not going to work. So I got taught what I don't need to do, but then I had to go to God and be taught what to do because
Absolutely.
I didn't know what to do. I knew what not to do, but I didn't know what to do. And so I had to sit before God. I remember I have journals right now, today, journals from years and years ago, just writing God letters. God, show me how to love. Show me how to pray. And I started praying over my food. I started praying over my love making. I said, God, I want you to endow me. I want you to empower me to be all what you have me to be so I can satisfy my husband. Not talking about it more in the fleshly sense, but more on the spiritual side. And I would pray with him when he's not looking. I didn't have to prove to him that I was praying for him. It was in the proof was in the pudding. I would push him up front. I would say, no, people would come to me for prayer. I said, no, go to my husband. Go talk to my husband. No, go ask
Amen.
My husband to pray for you. I will push him, and I will encourage. I remember a time, sis, when my husband first got, when, like I said, he was in new members class, but this after we got married. He had graduated from new members class, and he was at work, and he knew I was a preacher and stuff like that, and I kind of started feeling that he felt kind of intimidated by that a little bit because he like, okay, and I knew my former pastor told both of us, he said that because of where your wife is, God's going to move you fast, and when I tell you, I don't think none of us knew to the extent what God was getting ready to do with that brother. But when I tell you, I watch him grow to the man of God he is now. But I remember in our first beginning of that part, we would get around in the circles, and I would say, you know, are you going to pray? He said, no, you go ahead and pray. He would not pray because he didn't feel confident in praying. But I remember one time he was at work, and he was so excited, Lady Swenson. He was so excited. And he called me and said, baby, I got the scripture I want to read to you. And that's okay. And so he started telling me what he thought what it meant. I knew. I knew it did not mean that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I did? God told me, support him, celebrate him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's awesome, honey. And I found myself doing it a lot in the beginning of the process. But then all of a sudden, I would come home, he would be in the bedroom. He would be in my daughter's room while she's in school praying. And I'm like, whoa. And he would not know I'm coming home because he'll get off early or something like that. And I promise you, I would come home. He would be laid out with the prayer shawl, just praying and going before God. And I'm like, look at God.
God is awesome.
And I watched this man develop his life, his spiritual development behind closed doors. So
Amen.
What he was doing in behind closed doors, you literally saw it in the atmosphere when he was ready.
Wow. God.
So what I'm saying, ladies, I watched him because I got to the place I took my mouth off. I never complained to nobody else. And nobody would ever get me to say anything negative about my husband. You couldn't get me to say nothing negative about him. Now, for examples, I would give our stories. But during the time through the process, you wouldn't catch me saying anything negative about my husband. Even
Amen.
To my best friend would tell you right now today, she never knew none of the things I was dealing with. She didn't know. Because for some reason, God told me to close my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand why. I understand why. God told me to cover him. Because God was allowing me to cover him then for now.
Amen.
You didn't hear what I said. So what I
Amen.
Said is that can you be an example to your children? Wives, You got to be an example to your children. I tell a lot of women that when you have a blended family, you got to sometimes sit your children down, and especially when you have a man come in. Sometimes they don't know how to do this. They'll come in with a strong arm and want to do all this correction and all this kind of stuff. And, yes, I'm not totally agreeing with that, because that's a way you need to do that. However, you never go against your husband what he said. I tell my ladies all the time, I say, if your child, if your husband correct them, you don't go behind them or to him or in front of them and correct. No, no, no. I told her, no. You need to pull him aside and say, hey, baby, can I talk to you in the room? You go in the room and say, honey, I didn't want to say that in front of the girls or the boys or the children, but I had already told her, and let him be the one to go out there and correct that. You don't never take the authority from him. You got to give him the authority, but you can't take it from him.
Oh, my God.
Because when you take it from him, not only are you teaching your daughter what to do, accept and what not to accept and what to do and what not to do, he's going to have a hard time with that child, because they're going to know, I can go to my mom and tell my mom anything.
Absolutely.
I go to my mom and say, Mama, I don't like how you do that. They should not be coming to tell you that, nothing like that. And if they do, it should not be so many. It should not be so frequently. Do you hear what I'm saying? But if that's happening in your house, that means you took authority from your husband, and you need to give that authority back. And you have to sit your children down. I used to tell this to my daughters, and I said, especially my baby girl, she'll come behind closed doors to my mom. I don't like how daddy did that. He hurt my feelings. I said, okay. I said, you talk to daddy yourself? I said, no. I said, well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I said, you have an open door to communicate, even though if you don't like the way he communicate back, but you need to talk to him for yourself. And you don't come behind closed doors and trying to see if I'm going to get on your side, and then I'm going to talk on your behalf. I'm not going to do that. No. But there's times if I saw something that maybe could be misinterpreted, then I would go and I would wait till when nothing is wrong, and I'll wait for a time. Bible say a wise woman of wisdom, I would go and talk to my husband. I say, honey, this is something I see. You may want to address this and da-da-da. But then I will actually see my husband's mannerism. If he start getting defensive or he seems like he's getting, I say, okay, well, you know, I know you meant well. I know you really meant well when you said that, but this is what I take. I would never go to him and say, this is what she told me. Because he can take that, interpret that, okay, and interpret it in a whole other light. And that's just wisdom notes that I just learned over the way, making these mistakes. I did make them long, but I did make those mistakes, sis. And I'm telling you, it cost me great at that time. You know, but at the same time, women, if you're seeking God, your mistakes should not last long.
That's real good.
You should not be in this process a long time. I promise you. If you find yourself 3, 4, 5 years still going through the same thing, that's something you're not doing. That's something you're not doing, because you should not be going through this process that long like that, because something should change, something, because you're sowing seeds. But if you're sowing the bad seed, I see why. If your mannerism, we're going to talk about that, because we almost, we got 15, 20 more minutes, sis. Okay, let's get to our last one. Our last discussion point is this. You can be happy with your husband. That's our discussion point. You can't be happy with your husband. Sis,
absolutely.
When I tell you, I'm telling you, and I'm just being real, I'm being transparent, because of the things I did before I got married, because of the hurts I caused in other people's marriage, because I did have an affair with other women, husbands, because of all the seeds that I have sown in other people's lives, and because I didn't know who I was in God, I was saved, but I was not walking it out. I was not walking it out. And this was over 17 years ago. I never thought I would be happy. I never thought, because I always hear preachers say this: you reap what you sow. You're gonna sow a lot of stuff. You're gonna reap a lot of stuff, because all the seeds I sown in my early up. I promise you, when I tell you, sis, I never thought I would be happy. So coming into this marriage, I had already came to the conclusion that I won't be happy. So I walked around unhappy while I was happy. Do that make sense?
It doesn't, but I understand.
Don't do me like that, sister. Don't do me like that. But literally, I really walked around waiting for something bad to happen. already addressing stuff like, okay, look, we could have a dispute. We could have a little small spat. I was like, okay, let the door hit you with a good little split you. I was already on the defense because I just knew I would never be happy because I did so much wrong. And the thing I found out in my walk with Christ, God forgave me, but I didn't forgive myself.
Amen.
So because I didn't forgive myself, I walked around with my head down. Now, in the physical, I didn't look like I had my head down. In the physical, I looked like I had it together.
Oh,
but
God.
On the inside, I did not have it together.
Amen.
I wasn't walking in the completeness of God. I was not walking. I was walking in condemnation. So I just knew, I'm here to let you know, I'm living my dream.
I'm living the best dream I have.
I'm not saying everything's perfect. I don't have all the money. I don't have all this. But I got a husband that loves me and loves my children dearly. I'm walking out purpose with my best friend. That is just awesome to me. Even in our challenging moments, I'm doing it with my best friend.
Amen.
Even when my mom, when I want to just hit him side his head sometimes, but I'm doing it with my best friend. And even when he gets on my nerves, and I know I get on his, but I'm doing it with my best friend.
Amen.
And what I learned in my walk, sisters, what I learned in my walk, that when I felt that I could not be happy, I believed the lie the devil told me. I don't know what the devil telling you, but I ask you and I challenge you not to believe the lie. Because you know it's a lie when you hear it. Because anything negative is a lie.
Amen.
Because God is not going to do that. Now, he will expose sin. He will expose your hurts. But he's not going to condemn you with it. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's not going to beat you upside your head with things that he wants you to get healed from. He's a healer. He's not a hurter.
That's good.
Now, there's sometimes in the process of your healing, you will have to be hurt. Because even a person that got cancer, they got to get cut first. You hear what I'm saying? So, Lady Swenson, we can be happy with our husband, but that's
absolutely
a choice.
Oh, yes, God.
Go ahead, Lady Swenson.
Yes, it is. We can. Yes, the answer is yes, we can be happy. And secondly, it is a choice because, you know, even like you said, Pastor Teresa, we can walk around every single day not even realizing that we can be happy, you know, because of our past, because of the things that we suffer, because of the situation that we're currently in, even in our marriages right now today. The devil could tell us a lie that there is no hope, there's no happiness, you know, you're not happy, you know, you're going to be depressed or oppressed all your life. The devil is a liar. You can be happy. And I promise you, I can tell you this story that my husband and I, when we were separated, and he was in prison. He tells the story even today that he didn't want to come back to me. He wanted it to be over. You know, he was already dating somebody else. He was, you know, asking God that he can divorce me and be with this other woman. And in the midst of him being incarcerated, a unsaved guy came to him one morning in his bunk and told him that God said, give you this scripture. He was an atheist. He didn't read the Bible.
Wow.
He didn't know the word. But God gave this atheist the scripture to my husband, and it says, put not the wife of your youth away. And my husband got that scripture, and he began to ask God and say, God, okay, I'm ready. What are you saying? God said, I will restore the love that you have for your wife 100 times over if you just obey me and go back, because I have a plan for this marriage. And so my husband obeyed God, came back to me, and we began to work on our marriage. We were not happy, not in the beginning, because he was still had a soul tie. He was still tied to this woman. So then there were some things that he had to fight, things I had to fight. But in the midst of us, like you said, fighting together, in the midst of us desiring to please God, desiring to see the outcome that God promised us, we fought together. And today, after 25 years, I promise you, I'm living my best life now.
Wow.
I never thought
wow.
that we could be happy. I never thought that our marriage would survive 25 years. Never thought it. But God is
wow.
faithful. And God is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. What is my reward for diligently seeking God for my marriage? A happy marriage. I want to say this too, Pastor Teresa, and I'm going to give it back over to you. A lot of women look at being happy as being, you know, something has to happen for them to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Something good has to happen for them to be happy.
Right.
You know, happiness is a part of happy. But everything in your life, something good don't always have to happen for you to be happy. You can choose,
right,
like Pastor Teresa said, to just be happy. Paul said, be right, content in whatever state you find yourself in. What does that mean? Choose to be happy in whatever content you find yourself in. If you don't have it all, you don't have the best job, you don't have all the money, you don't have the nice clothes, you don't have whatever, find yourself in a place of contentment, being happy with where you are. And I promise you, God will turn it around for you.
That's right. And so what's so powerful, ladies, and we get ready to wrap it up. I want to give these points out, and then we're gonna wrap it up. What's so powerful, ladies, we're not telling you that it's not a difficult process. That's not what we're telling you. But what we're telling you, you've got to walk out the authority that God's giving you. You can't act like a girlfriend when you are a wife. There's a reason why he chose you and he did not choose another woman. There's a reason why he chose you and he wants you. Now, I'm not dismissing anything that you have gone through and may go through. But what I am saying is that when you take the authority that God has given you, the rightful authority that God has given you, it will make your process a little bit more better. But you got to get to the place that you got to see things with a different set of eyes. You got to see your things. You got to make sure you're not around carnal friends. Can I minister to you tonight? We got to get to the place that we got to choose our circle, and that circle got to be in the direction that we're going into. You're not going to be, me and my sister, we're in the same circle, and we pick people on purpose. We sit and watch their lives first. And even if we feel like, okay, if this person allow us to say something to them, they can say something to us and help these people to where they need to go, we will it. But if a person's stubborn and they want to stay right there, we're gone. Oh, we're not going to hang with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we realize that we are pastors. We're first ladies. I don't like the first lady thing, but nevertheless, I'm going with that. I say lady. I like the lady part. That's the lady part. I like lady. Lady Bird, that's good. That's cute. But first lady, I don't know. But anyway, that's my own personal issue. Just pray for my yep. Just pray for me. But when I said that, to say that we realize that we sit in a seat that other people in our own family, that's, we got children, we got nieces and nephews that's looking at us, looking for an example. The world is looking towards the church for answers. But when the church is not operating according to the will of God and the purpose of God, that we can't give them no answers. They get confused, and they'll treat church like it's nothing. They'll treat God like he don't exist, but he will only exist to them based on how we as Christians live before God, before them.
Amen.
So I said to say, I know it's tough right now. I know that you got a lot of questions. I know you got a lot of empty places, empty spaces. But God is right there with you. You got to go to God. You got to ask God, God, what is the purpose of my marriage outside of this, that, another? Do you understand the enemy is coming after your marriage because you got purpose? He's not going to go after nothing that ain't going nowhere. He's not going to go after you if you don't have purpose lying in you. He's coming after your marriage because your marriage have purpose. But do you know that? Do you understand what God has designed for you? You may not have all the answers right now. You may not know all the answers, but you serve a God that has the answer, and that's who you need to be seeking. I want to give this to you, and we're going to end this thing with prayer, but I want to give something to you that God just was put in my spirit to give you. Are we as wives walking in the light of the scriptures of the Bible? Are you walking according to what the word says about your life? Are you walking out what the word says about as a wife? The woman of God talks about Proverbs 31, and are you that Proverbs 31 woman? The other thing I want to share with you is, do you understand that the woman was created for man, not man created for the woman?
That's good.
Ooh, you better catch that.
That's
Genesis 2:18 tells you that. We was created for the man. We came from him, and we was created for him. Oh, you better catch that.
Amen.
We was created from him, and we was created for him. We are supposed to be the helpmeet. I heard a pastor say, I can't remember who said this, but I heard a pastor say this. Anytime a pastor or a man of God or a man want to birth anything out, give it to a woman.
That's right. We have the womb.
Come on here, somebody.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
We have the womb. We have the physical womb, and we have the natural womb to nurture and to build and help birth out. I can say that with, between me and my husband, between business, church, with our family, all he got to do is pitch it to me. I'm working.
Amen.
You'll find my hands working. Okay, I got you. What you need, what you want, what you just tell me your vision, tell me what the Lord told you, and baby girl going to work it out. We're going to make it happen. Because
Amen.
that's my gift. I'm a nurturer. I'm a nurturer. I'm a visionary as well. The next thing is I want to share with you is that we as wives, we got to be very careful. Proverbs 14:1 talks about a lot of different things, but I want to share. I don't want to go there because they're going to be too lengthy. I want to share this with you. We got to make sure that our attitude is not tearing down, but is building up. And there's a certain thing, you know, what's your attitude? There's a positive side of attitude. You know, you see little kids, what's your little cute little attitude? It can be cute at times, but majority of the time when it comes down to women, our attitude stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Check it. Our mannerism, how we say things, what we say, how we say it, it don't build up, it tears down. And you want to be very careful with that. Do your words build up or do they tear down? Do your words build up or do they tear down? And my last point I want to cover tonight is, do my actions build up or do they tear down? What we're asking you, and with these points, this was added points that I bring it to the table, is because I'm realizing as a woman, we have a lot of gifts. We wear a lot of hats. We work, we do a lot of different things in ministry. We're a mother, we're a wife, we're a sister. People come to us and ask for, you know, advice, and I'm pretty sure there's people on the call tonight, you doing the same thing. The question is, are you doing it well? Are you doing it in the healthiness of your spiritual being? Are you bleeding? Do you need to sit down and say, God, I need to be ministered to. I need you to pour into me right now because I'm bleeding. And when I say that is because if you're bleeding as a wife, I guarantee you the stuff that's coming out of you is going to hurt your husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hurt your husband. And I'm
Amen.
Not saying that husbands don't do wrong. I'm not saying that husbands, you know, they don't have no part in it. But what I am saying is, are you doing your part? Are you doing your part? Are you walking in authority as a wife or as a girlfriend? You are a wife and God has given you the authority. Your husband, when he married you, he gave you the authority to be a wife. So you was a girlfriend, but you graduated to be a wife. So you should be walking in your wife authority. And I'm not talking about the practical thing. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. Now, God gave you that authority. And when I say that is, I don't know what your husband is in his spiritual walk. I don't know what he did or did not do. But I will say this to you, sisters, my sisters of God. I say this to you, if you walk in authority of God and you understand your own personal authority with God, your own as a Christian, you will kind of understand a little bit more the authority that you have as a wife. I would like to submit to you tonight that get into the presence of God. Stop going to your girlfriends, stop going to your sisters and complaining about your husband and talking down on your husband. Because in the spirit realm, you're sowing some bad seeds. If you're not going to a person, and if you do have to have, because I do believe that there's accountability that you need to have with another sister or someone in authority that's over you, maybe your pastor, your mentor, it's nothing wrong with going to them. But be very mindful what you come in agreement about your husband. And I see a lot of wives, Lady Swenson, they're shaking the devil's hand because they're coming in agreement with the enemy. So if the enemy says he's lazy, you're repeating he's lazy. If the enemy tells he did, you're repeating that. So you're shaking hands with the enemy, and you wonder why the enemy have so much foothold in your life? Because you're shaking hands with him. You're coming into agreement with him. Don't come into agreement with the enemy about your husband. You come in agreement with God about your husband. And if God said he's a man of God, which he is, He's a priest over your home. Come in agreement with God and say, God, I come in agreement that my husband is going to be a loving and righteous husband that's going to look to you before he make any decision. And even the mistakes that he made, you're gonna go to God and come in agreement with God. Lady Swinson is going to pray us out. She prayed us in, and she's going to pray us out. I really want to share with you tonight that I don't know where you are in your relationship with God, but I sense in the spirit real strong that there's some women that really need to make a real commitment to God, make a commitment to him that, God, I'm going to be the wife that you called me to be. I'm going to be that Proverbs 31. I'm going to be that Titus 2 woman. I'm going to get to the place where I can sit down and go before you for my life and for the life of my husband. Because God has something so much greater for you. There is a purpose for your marriage, but you need to seek God for that purpose. Because sometimes your purpose is right before you and you don't see it because you're so angry and you're so bitter. God don't want you to be bitter. He wants you to take your experience and allow it to make you better, not bitter. There are some things I would love to share with you, but we're out of time. Not out of word, but out of time. But, of course, you know, you'll meet us right back here every first Monday at 6:30, and it is Wives Monday. But you always can come back and replay this message, this broadcast, because it is archived on this show. And you also can visit me on the website, TeresaBurtMinistry.com, and you can actually get more information about upcoming shows. But I really want you, as Lady Swinson, lead us out in prayer. I really want you to really make that commitment as she prays. A commitment prayer as she lead us into prayer over our husbands, over us as a wife, as we walk in authority as a wife, not as a girlfriend. But I want you to make a commitment to God, make a commitment to yourself that you're going to watch what you say. You're going to look at your mannerisms and be very mindful how you act and how your actions are. Be very mindful how you go before your children when your children come to you about your husband. Be very mindful of what you say and how you say it. Amen. And I truly believe you take these principles and add them to your toolbox, you will be a better wife, be the wife that God have you to be. Lady Swinson, lead us out, honey.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we first of all come before you tonight, God, repenting. Because, God, we as women, we realize after this call tonight that we've done some things wrong. We've made some mistakes, God. Some that we've done, we didn't know, God. We didn't know we were doing wrong because we had a lack of knowledge. But, God, tonight you have released so much wisdom and so much knowledge on this line. So, God, tonight we repent right now for the things that we didn't know, the things that, God, we did that we do know we've done. We repent right now and ask for your forgiveness. And then, God, give us a heart to forgive those that hurt us. Give us a heart that forgive those, our husbands who've done some things, God, that, you know, maybe he didn't understand. In the name of Jesus, God, because you said that, you know, you'll give us a heart that forgive, God, and after we forgive, we can love right. We can treat our husbands right. We can be that woman that you're calling us to be, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, right now, I pray for that woman on the line who's hurting, who's still bleeding. God, that you heal that hurting place. God, that you wipe the blood away. God, that you purify her heart and her mind in her soul. And God, as she cry out to you, that you would give her the wisdom that she needs, God, to heal and God, to love right, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, and I pray for that woman who's struggling right now with her attitude, with her words, in the name of Jesus, God, that you, God, that she'll come before you repenting, God, and you will fill her with the right words, God, that will build up and not tear down. You'll give her the right attitude, oh God, in the midst of arguments or in the midst of disagreements, God, that she'll seek you for the right words and the right answers, in the name of Jesus. God, you say love covers a multitude of faults and failures. Give us the kind of love, God, that will cover our husbands in the midst of disagreement, in the midst of things we don't understand. Give us that kind of love in the name of Jesus. And now, God, I ask for godly wisdom. I ask, God, that we be godly examples for those children in the home, for children in the ministry. Let us be godly examples before them, God. Teach us how to be that godly example in the name of Jesus. God, and I thank you right right now as I pray over the words that come forth out of their mouth from this day forward. God, you said life and death is in the power of the tongue. God, I pray right now that they choose their words wisely from this day forward, that they not release words into the atmosphere, God, that would tear down their husbands, that would tear down their marriages. But God, I pray now that you would give them the words that will build up and that will edify and that will encourage their husband to go on and be that godly man, to be that example. And God, that their marriages will be filled with happiness, not because something good happened, but because they made a choice to be happy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. I don't know where you are today, and I know you should be happier. I know. I think the weights have been lifted. The woman of God prayed us out. We had an awesome show today. I want to thank you for tuning in on tonight, and I pray that I see you again and I hear from you again on next week at 6:30 right here on Share Talk, where we're going to have Mother's Mondays next week, and then I will be announcing sometime in the next week or so about our couple. We'll have another couple discussion, and we're going to make that at least maybe a once or twice a month that we're going to have our show. So I would like to, again, thank you, sweet woman of God, Lady Swenson. I love you, girl. You know I love you, right?
I love you too. Yes, ma'am.
And I just thank God for you guys. And I would like to tell you that if you have any information or any comments or any questions, feel free to inbox me, email me, text me if you like. And we are more than welcome to discuss your question or your comment on our next show. Right now, we're going to end our call. We've been prayed out. And I thank God for you. And I thank God for Lady Swenson. And we're going to leave out with our commercial for today. I love you guys. And y'all have a blessed day.
You have been in tune to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa, brought to you by the way of Teresa Burton Ministry. Every Monday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Share Talk, you can meet Pastor Teresa for a live empowerment session that guarantees to challenge you, encourage you, and inspire you to be all what God has you to be. We would also like to invite you to visit her on her website at teresaburtonministry.com. Tune in next Monday for another empowerment session by call 347-580-8820 or by using the link that's provided. Until next Monday, remember, the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow.